Recently, I went to the eye doctor, and I had to look into the phoropter. I had to look this thing up. I wasn't sure what that machine was. But as you know, you go and you look in this instrument, and they try to determine where your eyes are, your eye strength. And so you look into this, and then they start giving you images to narrow down what your prescription is going to be. So they say, look at these images now, and they say, is this image clear or is this image clear? You know what I'm talking about, right? Is it this one or is it this one? Right, and so you keep going down the line, and the further they go, the harder it is to tell. Is it this one or is it this one, or are they about the same? And then eventually they arrive at the prescription that you have. So today I'm going to use that process in a different way. We're going to go through something to try to determine where we are when it comes to sharing our faith. Now, when I talk about, first of all, I'm talking to Christians today. So this is a sermon. If you're a Christian, this is going to be something that really is something you have to take to heart here. And when I talk about the word faith, I'm talking about your relationship with the Lord. How you met the Lord, the kind of relationship you have with Him, do you pray, what does Jesus mean to you, what value does He bring to your life? That's what I'm talking about when it comes to the word faith. So keep that in mind. So I have an opening exercise, and I encourage you to use your bulletin on this. I've given you a place here to write your answers here, so I'm going to ask a couple questions, and you just write down which one is clearer to you, okay? So here's the question. Given the opportunity to have a conversation with a non-church person, this is not somebody that goes to church. They might have gone to church years ago, but they don't anymore, whatever. They're not in church. What topic would you most likely talk about? Okay, so we have the first screen. We have the weather. You talk about the weather, okay, or your relationship with Jesus. So just write down whichever one you would most likely talk about with a non-church person. Okay, so number two, family. Now talk about your family, friends, you know, whatever, or your relationship with Jesus. So which one is most likely that you're most likely to talk about? Okay, number three, your interest hobby, fishing, hunting, TV shows, books, whatever it is you enjoy, or your relationship with Jesus. Okay, now, number four, work. You're going to talk about work. Now, if you're retired, you don't have to worry about that. Soon, Smokey will be there. Discussing work. We're talking about a non-church person now, or your relationship with Jesus. Number five is a little questionable. Politics. Rather discuss politics or your relationship with Jesus. That might be a washout on that one, right? Okay. And the last one's going to be a little bit closer now. Church. Church events. What's going on in your church? Or your relationship with Jesus. Okay, so now I have one more question here now. If you were arrested, and you know if you spoke about your faith, you would be executed or you would be put in prison. Let's just make it easy. Imagine if you're in China or North Korea or an Islamic country somewhere. You were arrested, and you know if you spoke on your faith, you'd be executed in prison. What choices would you make here? So the first one, you would speak of your love for Jesus and how you believed in Him and how you trusted in Him, even if you were going to be arrested. Or you would plead the fifth or remain silent about your faith. So that's the question. How many would really speak out? How many would be prepared to? So hold on to those answers. We're going to come back to these as we get into the sermon. Now, you're probably asking, why even ask such a question? I mean, this would never happen. But right now, my friends, it is happening. There are Christians right now in our world being killed and being murdered for their faith. And I read about it all the time. And things are changing in this country. And please don't tell me what's not going to happen in 20 years, because think about 20 years ago where we were as a country. So 20 years, 40 years from now, you never know what's going to happen there. But the Bible says that there's going to be persecution. It's going to happen. So Peter, now he was writing to a church that seems to be in a disarray due to the fact that they were living in a fallen world, and Peter warns them that some of them may be tried for their faith. So I want to invite you to turn with me here to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading verses 13 through 17. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks to give you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So Peter is writing, he's not writing about something that is happening. He's telling them this is a potential issue that you may have to deal with. He's saying this could happen to you. He says, if you suffer for being a Christian. He's not saying go out and try to be persecuted. I don't know if you heard this. Jane Fonda decided at 80 years old she wanted to be arrested to make a political statement. Okay, so well, that's not what the Christian faith is all about. We're not out trying to get arrested. We're not out trying to get in trouble. But Peter is saying, be ready to speak the truth if you are arrested and put on trial. Verse 15, don't be afraid of their threats. He says, you're blessed. He also says, revere Christ. Be holy. Live the godly life. Follow Jesus' example. Peter says, be ready to talk about your faith. So how are we doing when it comes to talking about our faith? Do we talk about our relationship with Jesus? I think if you go back to that exercise I had at the beginning, when it comes to people that aren't Christians, you're probably going to find that Jesus is a least likely topic. And I believe the statistics. The statistics are kind of alarming here, and I don't doubt them at all. The statistics say that 95% of Christians have never won a soul to Christ. The statistics say 80% people do not share their faith on a regular basis. And this statistic was really alarming to me, but it made sense. Only 20% of churchgoers that are 65 and older, that's most everybody here, are eager to share their faith with those different than themselves. Because I've seen it, and most people just kind of want to, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. You be happy, I'll be happy. You live your way you want, I'll live the way I want, and I'm not going to talk about anything that you might disagree with, and you just do your thing. 65 and older, only 20% want to share their faith. So the great challenge is that most Christians that say they have a relationship with Him, and they say that they would testify in court under penalty of death about their faith, and they will talk about Jesus in church, but outside the doors of a church, it is crickets when it comes to Jesus Christ. Jesus is a whispered topic outside the doors of a church. He's a least likely topic, and His name is seldom ever said in public. And I realize it can be difficult. The world tells Christians, listen, you can believe what you want, but keep your religion to yourself. We don't want to hear about Jesus in public places. We don't want you to bring up Jesus in the marketplace. We don't want you to bring up Jesus in your business. We don't want Jesus to come up in government. Most Christians dutifully abide by the PC code, afraid that they're going to offend. And so nothing is said about Jesus. Well, it happens in our homes too. So we have a daughter or a son or a family member that gets upset with the slightest mention of Jesus. So we don't want to offend, and so we become very skilled at talking about all kinds of topics. We talk about our jobs, we talk about our family, we talk about politics, we talk about conflicts, we talk about things that stress us out, we talk about our health, we talk about sports, we talk about hobbies. But Jesus Christ, He's last on the list. Now, don't think He's never brought up. I mean, what we say is, well, now if the time is right, if the time is right, then I'll bring up Jesus. Now, we do talk about our church, and I'm glad. I'm glad we bring up the church. And we hope that people will come to church, and we hope that they will come and hear about Jesus. The world doesn't see it that way. If you invite somebody to church that's not a Christian, they think that you're inviting them to a sales pitch. They think that you're inviting them to a show or a meeting. So I want you to listen very closely now. Inviting someone to church is not a substitute for sharing your relationship with Jesus. It's not a substitute. Now, they're most likely going to listen to you because they trust you and because they know you than from a stranger. Now, I'll be glad to be the stranger. If you want to bring anybody in, I'll be glad to talk to them. I'll be glad to preach. I'll be glad to sit down with anybody and share Jesus Christ because that's what I love to do. But only you can tell what Jesus means to you in your own special way. I can't do that for you. You have a special way to do it. That's the way God made you. So how do we talk about Jesus? The topic so avoided, so ignored, and yet so needed today. Well, Peter gives us three approaches to talking about our faith. The first approach is to be prepared before. 1 Peter 3:15, the King James says, always be ready to give a defense. Peter's talking about a legal defense here, but the principle is still the same. We should be ready to give an explanation. How did we start? Here's some questions to think about. How did we start following Jesus? What does it involve? What does Jesus do for you? How has Jesus changed your life? Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks. Here's the deal. If you are living for Jesus, it's going to create questions with people. Because Christians handle things differently. Christians handle stress differently. Christians handle anger differently. Christians suffer differently. And they have a sense of peace and joy about them. And people want to know what is going on. And they're going to ask in indirect ways. They want to know what makes you tick. So give some thought to this question. How am I going to explain my relationship with Jesus? We should look for those opportunities to tell people that we're a Christian. We have a skeptical younger generation. Sorry, it's true. Very skeptical. They're being indoctrinated against Christianity. I have a daughter that's 20 years old. I know exactly what's going on out here. But we need to be ready when that opportunity arises to give our two cents. To be clear, we're not talking about a doctrinal belief. This is a heartfelt reason why you are a Christian. Give it some thought. Find a creative way to share it. It doesn't have to be perfect. I'm not talking about a canned speech here. I'm just talking about you speaking words from your heart about what Jesus means to you. Now, the second approach is to be hopeful. We're not trying to give a commercial for our church. We're not giving a commercial for why our church is the best church. We're not talking about our amazing preacher. Hopefully you got a good preacher here. It's not really the draw. And we're not talking about our amazing cooks, although I will tell you, we got some great cooks here. We got great cooks. And I'm happy to brag about them, but that's not my main purpose. although I do enjoy the food. The gospel is the good news. 1 Peter 3:15 says, give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. People watch real Christians. I'm not talking about fake Christians. I'm not talking about people that live one way all week and come to church and act a different way. I'm talking about real Christians, authentic Christians. People are watching you. They watch how you handle it when your world falls apart. They watch how you remain loving when somebody lashes out and mistreats you. They watch. Our purpose is not to lecture people, not to talk about how wrong they are. We tell them that hope is available. We tell them that forgiveness is available. We focus on sharing good news. See, we're sinners just like they are. We shouldn't come across like we never sin and that we are so perfect because we're just saved by grace. We can share our faith. The third approach is to use gentle and respectful persuasion. Be gentle and respectful. Verse 15 says we're to give a reason for our hope with gentleness and respect. Sometimes we act like it's our job to change people's minds. It's not the case. God does the changing. We are just messengers. The word respect here has to do with reverence and fear of the Lord. You know, things are getting, have you noticed, things are getting very ugly out here. Have you noticed this? Have you turned on the TV and saw how ugly it is getting out here? Part of it is that people get to hide behind social media. They get to create a profile, and they get to say and do things online with no consequences. They get to create web blogs and say whatever they want. I'm going to call this internet courage. There's a lot of internet courage out here today. But we speak with reverence toward God. He's watching what we say. He's hearing what we say. He knows what we're posting. A Christian is gentle. That word means meek. They control their strength. How did Jesus speak to people? He was clear. He was true. He was compassionate. He was caring. Common people heard him gladly, and he healed people, and he listened to people when they had questions. Some Christians lose before they even start because they start acting like they're so much better than everybody else. That's what I'm talking about next week, how we can totally ruin everything that we're about if we have a superior attitude toward people. People will tune us out in a second if we think that we're better than everybody else. But a Christian isn't better. They are just forgiven. Some people can tell people off for their sins, but they cannot tell people what Jesus means to them. Now, it can be really hard to stay controlled. 1 Peter 3:16 says we need to keep a clear conscience so that those who slander you may be put to shame by your good behavior in Christ. In fact, some people are not going to like you just because you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, there's probably somebody out there that just doesn't like that about you. And people are going to slander you, and people are going to make false accusations about you. It's been going on since the first century, but a Christian keeps their integrity. We are representatives of Jesus Christ. We don't get nasty. We speak the truth in a controlled way. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Now let me pause for a second here and say, you may be thinking, well listen, I've heard all this before. I already know all this stuff. This is all review. The reason I don't talk about my relationship with Jesus is because nobody listens to me. Okay? My 20-year-old granddaughter, she doesn't listen to me. She loves me, but she's doing her own thing. My 30-year-old son, he doesn't listen to me when it comes to spiritual matters. So why waste my time talking to them? I want you to hear this. I don't want you to underestimate your impact. The reason that I play guitar and the reason that I do my music is because of my grandfather. I've got a song about him on my CD. But anyway, my grandfather was not a Christian. My grandfather was a functional alcoholic. He didn't really share his feelings of love, but we had a connection, and he loved me in his own way. And he taught me how to play guitar. And I've been able to bless people because he made a difference with me. My father was just a below average high school student. He never went to college. He never read much. He worked in a paint store for all those years. And he wasn't a college well-spoken man, but he had a lot of common sense. What he did is he just lived the Bible. He lived the Bible in a believable way. And he taught me how to live the everyday Christian life. He made a tremendous impact. There was a retired professor in Bible college that took me under his wing. We spent a lot of time talking. He answered questions about the Bible. He taught me how to study the Bible in a systematic way, and he inspired me to be a preacher. Here's the deal. Every person I just talked about there is gone. They are gone. But they've made an impact in me right now. Right now. I remember things that they told me 40 years ago. I remember them today. Can you remember conversations from 40 years ago? Do you remember people telling you things 40 years ago? Has it made a difference to you? So what I'm trying to say is that every single one of you is making an impact. And the life that you're leading right now and the conversations you're having will go on for years ahead. So why leave Jesus out? Why leave Jesus out of a conversation? Why not bring him in? So you and I have an obligation to discuss and to give an answer to those around us. Why are we Christians? Now there is something that I want to warn you about. And it's the idea that one day I will talk to them. One day I will talk to them. I'm going to get around to talking to them. I'm going to talk to my son, daughter, grandchild, spouse, friend, neighbor, whoever it is, that person. Yeah, I know I should talk to them, but I'm going to get around to it when the time is right, when I feel comfortable, when they're ready to listen to me. Now let's go back to our text with Peter. Peter is writing to Christians and he's telling them to be ready in case they are arrested to give a defense. Now, I was thinking about this. This is not a comfortable time to share your faith when you're arrested. You're arrested, you're in court, and there is people there trying to kill you, and they just want evidence to end your life, and you're sitting there, nobody cares anything about what you're saying, and the judge doesn't care, and the people around you don't care, and Peter says, hey, give a defense about why you are a Christian, even though you're going to lose everything, and even though you could possibly die. That sounds pretty uncomfortable to me. Nobody's going to want to hear you. Here's the warning. There may not be a good time. When everything's right, when the person wants to listen. But what you're telling them might make a difference later in their life. If you wait for the perfect time, that perfect time may never come. So don't be afraid to make a plan to share your faith. Don't go another week or a month or a year without telling people what Jesus means to you. So the question is, who is it that Jesus wants you to talk to? A family member? A friend? A neighbor? Somebody close in your life? I'm going to give you my suggestion. This is what I suggest. I suggest you to try an approach like this. I have something I really want to talk to you about that's really important to me. I know this is probably not something that you're excited about hearing, but it means something to me. You know that I'm a Christian. This is why I'm a Christian. This is why I made the decision to follow Christ. And I want you to become a Christian. I want you to really think about making a decision for Christ, because if anything happens to me, I want to see you in heaven. Now, they may not even understand what you're talking about, but years later, they might remember it. Remember, you're just a messenger. You're a messenger for the good news. They're adults. They have to make their own decision. But what you could tell them could change their mind. And it could happen while you're alive. It happens out there. It really does. Or it might be after you're gone. But you still have that responsibility. So make a decision to share your faith each week. Find someone to talk to about your faith. Be creative about it. You don't have to be in your face about it. Be creative. We can talk about almost anything. We're pretty good at it. Find a way to talk about Jesus. Be ready to share your story at all times. And I can tell you one thing, if you pray to the Lord, there's going to be opportunities to share your faith. Our invitation hymn sounds kind of like someone sharing their faith. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. We have a story to tell, every single one of us. So let's tell it. Let's all stand as we sing this beautiful old hymn.